Well, take your Bibles. This is not going to be anything really new. And first, we're going to establish who this message is for. And this message is for two groups of people. The first group of people are those, everyone that's here tonight, if you're less than 66 years old, put your hand up. Okay, that's probably most of you. Good. It's for you, okay? Now, at this point, I'm not asking for you to raise hands. But everybody that's more than 66 years old, you just, in your mind, you put your hand up, okay? And the message is for you, too. Okay, so there we got that established. This evening, what we're gonna look at is some things that are eternal. And, I've been thinking about those type of things, and, you know, what is it that any of us have an opportunity to access, okay, that becomes eternal, okay? And, of course, you know, we know that the things of this world, they're not eternal. They're going to pass away. But there are opportunities for us to take things from this world and invest them in eternity, and we will get a reward for those type of things. And as I thought about that, you know, I've been thinking about my grandchildren, and I'm just thankful to the Lord for my two sons and my grandchildren, that all of them except for a couple of the smaller ones have trusted the Lord as their Savior, and the Lord has really blessed my youngest son Jeremiah. He's the one that after my first wife passed away, Jeremiah came forward and dedicated his life to the Lord, and he's the one that's, you know, as working as a pastor now out in Virginia. And he really has the Lord's blessing on his family. I see it in a lot of the same ways that Brother Eric, you've got the Lord's blessing on your family. You know, that you've done right in raising them, and you've got some children that are going to go out and serve the Lord. And Nathaniel, he fires me up because he's 14 years old, and you talk to him on the phone, and what does he want to talk about, you know? Not about some video game. He wants to talk about preaching. Have you heard this preacher? Have you heard that preacher? You know, he gets fired up about it, and he's a soul winner. He goes out, on visitation every week, and has opportunities to lead people to the Lord. And so, man, that's just, you know, that's priceless. You can't put a price on that type of thing. But so anyway. This evening, what we're going to talk about is some opportunities for you. And as I was thinking about the things that we can do, you know, you can take your money and invest in missions. And that money, when you invest it in missions, if you do it with the right heart attitude, that becomes eternal. Okay? It doesn't matter what your age is. If you've got access to some money, you do some kind of a job or something, chores, and you invest that money in missions, that becomes eternal. And then another thing that becomes eternal is when you invest yourself in other people. Here within the church, when you have an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody in whatever way, you know, and you take that opportunity, that is an investment that you've made, that now this thing, you know, you gave somebody a cup of water. Doesn't seem like much, you know. But Jesus said if you did it, that it wasn't going to be forgotten, you know. And so you take this and all of a sudden it becomes something that is eternal, that's going to last forever. So we've got another opportunity coming up for everybody. Brother David was, mentioning about the street ministry, and so I've been talking to Pastor, and not this Saturday, but probably the following Saturday, depending upon how I'm doing, we're going to start doing the door hangers again, you know, going to house to house, and that's biblical, and hanging out door hangers. That's about the simplest and easiest thing that anybody can do. Anybody can do it. If you can walk, I mean, I can take this canister of oxygen and I can walk down the street. You know, I can go up to a door, knock on a door, or even if you're really shy, and you're just you don't know what to do when you get up to that door. All you gotta do is take that door hanger and boop, hang it on the doorknob, and walk away, and God will take that and use it. So, let's take our Bibles, and we're just gonna look at the Great Commission. So, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28, and I guess if Pat, she likes to have titles for things, and so I was thinking about it, and as I looked it over, and I said, okay, here, yep, there it is. Five facets of one jewel. Five facets of one jewel. So we're going to look at the five passages that talk about the Great Commission, and then maybe see some facets of this jewel that God has given for us to use. So in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so what I want you to focus in on this passage is in verse 18, where Jesus said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So I want you to notice that all power has been given to Jesus, and make sure you just hang on to that, because a little bit later on we're gonna get and see how that applies to us. But I also want you to understand that there's power in two places. There's power in two places. Of course, we know that Jesus has all the power, but he's been given power in heaven, and he's been given power on earth. And that's what you and I need to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, is we need power in the earth. We need power with people so that the message that we give, that they'll accept it. You know, we may not want it, but they'll know that it has come from God. And then there's power in heaven, because obviously we can't save anybody, but we can get a hold of the throne of grace, God can do the God can and will do the work if we'll ask Him. There's a you know this is just something with me that is far as that God's kind of given me a little bit of a ministry as far as weeping over souls, and I think that it would be a great thing for more of our men in our church. You can't work up tears. You can't sit there and, you know, cut onions and stuff like that. But if you'll ask God for tears for souls, He'll give them to you. And when He does, I don't understand it all, but I know that the Bible tells us that he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So if you get a hold of God and say, you know, Lord, I've got a hard heart, and I pray that often. You know, Lord, I haven't been weeping over souls and such, and I'll say, Lord, you know, I'm getting hard. You need to give me some tears to soften that dirt and get that hard heart softened up so that I can be used by you. So we've got here our first facet is that there's power in two places, and in this passage we see that the commission is given, but it's a general commission given to all of us, every one of us. He says, "Go ye, That's, you know, if you're breathing and you can see me, you're included. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Okay, so there's teaching that takes place twice. First, there's teaching that takes place where we give them the gospel, and a person trusts Christ as their Savior, and then you teach them to observe all the rest of what he wants us as Christians to do. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now let's go over to the next passage in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to look at another facet of this great commission that God has given to us. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so God has given us here, I think it's interesting to note that this can happen to any of us, you know, we can become cold and hard-hearted regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Lord comes up and he appears to them, and then he upbraids them because they didn't believe the witness that they had already heard that Jesus had risen from the dead. And I'm thankful for the fact that in all of us, really here tonight, we've got a special blessing, because I've never seen Jesus, but I believe, I know that Jesus Christ is risen. I know that he's coming again, and I know that I know him, and he knows me. You know, and it's so simple. It's found there in verse number 16. And so it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We're not talking about baptismal regeneration or any of that. The key word there is the belief. And then you'll also see right after that, but he that believeth not, there's your key, shall be damned. And for myself personally, that's when I got saved. I knew everything I needed to know. I knew that Jesus had died. I knew that he had died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again. But I had never personally believed it myself. I knew it, but there's a whole big difference between knowing something and believing it. And when I was on that garbage can in the laundry room of the barracks there in Zaragoza, Spain, and I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm going to hell. And he didn't let me go to hell, and he saved me. And I got up off that garbage can, no church service. I did have a gospel tract, a sermon from a Catholic Bible by John Rice, and the Lord saved me. And, you know, it's just that simple. And my life changed for the better. And so in Mark 16, the facet that we're looking at here is the fact that God makes a division. And that, of course, we see that division in verse 16. There's going to be a division that happens. Every time you witness to somebody, there a division takes place. You tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll either accept it or they'll reject it. You hope that at some point they'll accept the Lord and get saved, but that's nothing that we can do, but God does that. He makes a division between people, and that's sometimes why people get angry when you witness to them, is just because I think they know within themselves that they're under condemnation, and of course they don't like that. All right, let's go over to Luke chapter 24. We're gonna get this wrapped up here. Luke 24. So we have the first facets where the power in two places, and that we had a general call. Then the second facet was the fact that there was a division. And now here in Luke 24, we're gonna see the power transmission. Luke 24, verses 44 through 52. Oop. There we go. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And that's a great key. If you have something that you don't understand in the Bible, go to God and ask him. If he wants you to understand it, he'll give you understanding, or he'll send somebody along to explain it to you. But and if he doesn't, well, then you just say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to wait until you decide to show it to me." Verse 46, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." And so everybody that's here tonight, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, now maybe there's some of the younger ones that haven't, but if you have, you're a witness of the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, rose again, and that you know him. What we have here is we've got the transmission of God's power through you and I to those that are around us. So we've got the power transmission. And now the next facet we're going to look at real quickly here is in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. We're not going to go through all of it. God gave me some good direction in my life and several different times through this passage. But in John 21, let's look at verses, just a couple of verses, 20 through 22. Bible says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And so the facet that we have right here is that, you know, we saw that there was a general call to all of us as Christians, but this here is an individual call that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to each one of us. God doesn't want, you know, Brother Taylor to be a witness and not me. He doesn't want Brother Danny to be a witness and not Titus. You know, God wants every one of us. And so if you're looking for a personal invitation, here's your personal invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, "Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" And, you know, isn't that something, how that's how we tend to be, is, you know, God puts the button on us. You know, he starts pushing our button, and he wants us to do something. And what do? Look at that person. Lord, what about them? Look, no. Just like a little kid, stop. You know, look at the Lord and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do it." It's, you know, so simple. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us he wants you and I to follow him. Simple. And then we'll look at the last one. You can just pop down on the page probably in Acts chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 7 through 11. In that facet that I've got from John chapter 21, it's the facet of don't wander from your path. God's got a path for each one of you. As you young people, as you get older, God's got a path for you. And old people, the older people, God's got a path for us too. God didn't intend for us to, you know, sit back and put a kick our feet up and retire. There's no retirement in Christianity. There's refirement maybe, but not retirement. You know, if you get so bad that you can't do anything but pray, well, then you can pray. But as long as you got breath and you can get around and interact with people, you've got an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord. Okay, Acts chapter 1, and we'll just read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 7. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So there it is. We've got it all in a nutshell. The Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven. We don't have to stand around. Okay, what does God want me to do today? No, the job's here. It's available to anyone and everyone. And so now the choices or the decision that you'll have to make is to make the decision to either be obedient and be a witness for the Lord, or to be disobedient and not be a witness for the Lord. For myself, I choose to want to be a witness for the Lord. Not always. I wish I could say that I was, 100% of the time. No, definitely not. But that's part of the reason why I go out on the street ministry, and why I'm going to be working now with the door hangers, is because if I don't do something, then you want to know what I'll do? Come on, Eric. Nothing. Exactly right. If I don't do something, I won't do anything. And that's true of all of us. We either get busy living, or get busy crawling in a corner in a hole someplace. So, with that being said, there's before you. Anyone that's interested in going out and hanging up door hangers, I'd be willing to go with you. Like I said, probably it's going to be on Saturday. We can work this out so that it can work out for as many people as possible. Really, all you really need is a handful of the door hangers and a place to go. And Lord willing, I can give you that. And Pastor and I have also been talking about possibly, maybe being a blessing to some of the churches in the area. If they want to get some door hangers, and we could go and hang door hangers, out in an area somewhere close to here. But there's an opportunity for all of us to begin to continue to serve him, so that we'll have some real eternal rewards in heaven. Lord gave me an opportunity to be here 35 years ago, and as I'm standing here right now, I'm thinking back. We had, with Pastor Robert was here, we had a jail ministry, and God gave me and my first wife Sue an opportunity to work in the jail ministry. And I remember there was a young man by the name of Andy Brown that came forward in a service at the jail, got saved, got out, and I hope he's serving the Lord still today. But that's what it's all about. See people get saved, and then if the Lord gives you the opportunity to disciple them and teach them the things that you've learned. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. And Lord, I just pray that you take and challenge all of our hearts. Lord, our lives are really short. We don't know when they're going to end, but Lord, how great it would be to get to the end of this life and to bow before you. And it's going to be great to see your face. But Lord, it's going to be so much greater to have some crowns to cast at your feet. Lord, help each of us to just get a hold of that truth that we can, and we can only do it now. Gather up eternal things that we can cast before you to show our love for the great love you bestowed upon us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.